good to have Brother Joshua and his wife and Brother Levy here with us. Nice to make yourself just at home. Mark chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, Brother Roy sneaking in the back, but I saw you, brother, don't worry. Sneaking in over there, but I saw you. I appreciate each one that can make it out. Amen. Mark chapter 9. Might have a little bit longer of a service this morning. Hope that's okay. Well, a few of you, there we go, all right. Amen. I just want to lay, I kind of said something about it on Wednesday, but I want to lay out some pretty strong statements this morning. Verse 9, Mark chapter 9, verse 9. As they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying within themselves, questioning one another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. Acts chapter 3. I'll let you catch my breath anyways, Dad. So Acts chapter 3. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Restitution is the same as restoration. Until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. I'll just stop there for now. I'd like to preach this morning, what is this restoration that we speak of? Let me say that one more time. What is this restoration that we speak of? Let's bow our heads together. How many believes that he's here with us this morning? Do you have a need you'd like to lift up? Say, Lord, I know that the word is what will provide my need today. God bless each one. He knows what's behind your hands. You go ahead and pray, and I'll lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints today. Lord, we could have been doing all kinds of other things, but Lord, you put it in our heart a desire to be here. But that's because your presence promised to be here, Lord. And I pray that you'll move us all aside, all our carnality, all our thoughts of this world, or even our obligations in life. And right now, Lord, may we give you the preeminence. Say, Lord Jesus, what do you have for me today? Not my brother, not my sister, but me, oh Lord. What are you trying to tell me? Lord, help me to have my eyes covered with eye salve that I can see, and my heart pure and clean, that you can just feed me the word of God. Help us, Lord, to all dedicate ourselves anew to you. And send the word, Lord, and speak through my lips. I know the revelation you've given me, Lord. Help me to step aside that you can give it the way it was given. That, Lord, there be no hindrances of my flesh or the church's flesh, but all that be covered by the blood of Christ, Lord, and the Holy Spirit have its way. Speak to us, Lord, from on high. Heal the sick that's here. Save the lost. Encourage the discouraged. And just equip us, Lord. Fill us anew with the Holy Ghost and power. For the glory of God to be here amongst us. Lord, we know that the time is at hand. Lord, there's no time to waste. Help us to be busy about the Master's work, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that we don't have to figure things out anymore. I remember there's many times when been reading the message and things. You know, the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost about 10 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long, Brother Dan, but time flies, and it really picks up once you start having little ones, you know. That's before that, it seemed like I could keep track of stuff anymore. No, you just go with it, and before you know it, there's a month, there's 2 months, there's a year, because you just run, go, go, go. And some of that is just the society we live in. You know, there's no time to stop and reflect anymore, Harley. There's no time to sit and pray and just meditate on God, because we got to do this, we got to do that. We got to get here. We got to say this. And if we don't do that, then we won't have this. God help us to put all that aside, like the Bible said, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, amen. And he'll take care of all that other stuff. Amen. And even comes to the word of God. I know many times I believe that the Holy Spirit, Brother Dan, a little earlier today. Okay, I'll take it off right now. He's getting on me about taking my coat off and rolling my sleeves up. He said, that's just what I do. But I don't know. I've said it before, I'll say it again. That's what you do when you fight. You know, you don't leave your sleeves up. You got to get them out of the way. You got to put your gloves on, you know. And I didn't come to church just to talk to you. I come to get rid of the devil. That's right, to defeat him, to find him. How can you? You can't do it. He did. He knows. And that's why we get out of ourselves, get out of our thoughts. We say, Holy Spirit, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe you live in me. I believe you live in my brother and sister. I believe you believe in the man of God that's got a gift. And say, Lord, I want to feed from heaven today. Amen. And God has honored that faith everywhere. I've seen a full-blown, God help me, but I've seen hypocrites get behind the pulpit, and I've seen the Holy Spirit use the man because people needed it. Right. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Saying you ain't allowed to say that, Brother Andrew. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Right. Well, we can't say names and such. Well, Elvis Presley, Bernie Ford. I'll bring out those quotes. But anyways, took a lot of time. I believe the Lord showed me at a young age, you know, when I got the Holy Ghost, nobody told me to go read my Bible. Nobody had to force me to do it. I did it. Nobody said, you better get a trade book and read it. I did it. Nobody said, go find out what the seals were. I did. And it wasn't just me. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. Amen. So I have a hard time when people say that they're elect of God and they ain't being drawn nowhere. The Bible said, Jesus said that. He said, you can't even come to me unless the Father draws you. Amen. Hallelujah. And how grateful we ought to be that we came, because that means he loved us first. Hallelujah. You say, I love the Lord, and we'll watch Christian after Christian get stumbled and confused and have a hard time. If you love him, the Bible said that's because he first loved you. Amen. What a consolation that ought to be to you and I. Amen. But I believe it just seemed really simple to me of what the seals was about, why it had to be open. There ain't nowhere to get around it. They had to be open. Without the seals being open, there wouldn't be no rapture, church. There would be no flesh saved. That's how Christ is cutting the day short, as he sent the revelation before it even happened. To why? To get the bride ready. Amen. A lot of people get confused. They say, well, is the bride the seventh seal or the fourth seal? Because the bride ain't here after the fourth seal. God foreshadowed what would take place, and it took the revelation of what the bride is, which will be the second coming. Come on now. Amen. She'll come back in the third right there. We'll see what the bride is. She's the queen of heaven. Amen. Amen. But the bride needed the revelation here to make the rapture, which is right here in the fourth seal. So the revelation has come. That doesn't mean it's fulfilled yet. Unless you think we're in the tribulation, which God forbid, what are we doing? I hope that's making sense. God gave us the revelation of all seven seals to give us the faith we need to fulfill what we're supposed to do. And God has never slacked his word. He's always given it when it's needed. Amen. And even on the tapes, I could read some of the quotes, but there's just so much on this, and this is exactly what Brother Brown, I'm not going to go off on tangents. I'll show you where he said it. I'll show you where the Bible said it. I already showed you right there that Jesus said, Elias will come and restore all things. You can't bypass that. Amen. He didn't say some other man. He didn't say there'd be somebody after Elijah. He said, that's the one. Yeah. Right. Here, Peter, on the day, right after Pentecost, he's preaching his sermon. What's he saying? The heavens will, Jesus will stay there, the body now. We understand the spirit and the body. I hope you do. But the body of Christ will stay there until everything's restored. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, they both say restoration of all things. So Jesus can't come back until all things are restored, and he told us how they'd be restored. Amen. So we're looking for a rapture. We're looking for Jesus to come, and the Bible told us how it'd be here. Amen. Many people have had ideas of what the seven thunders are, and they've gone off. You know, we got a denomination, so-called, I guess, that of the seven thunders, and my dad and Brother Dan knows about that. Some others have been involved in that, and they got off on a tangent. That's all it is, and it don't take much, brother, sister. Many people do that, and they're the only ones sitting there believing that. They got some little quote that they took, or even the Bible. They'll take a little scripture. Before you know it, they twist it up just enough to where they're going the wrong way. They didn't back up and say, wait a minute, I got checked in my heart a long time ago about this. They just blaze on right through that, and before you know it, you got somebody who says they believe the message, don't believe a lick of it, preaching it. Amen. I got no patience for that, brother, sister. Neither they in the Bible. That's right. It's the devil's the devil. That's the Antichrist, brother, sister. The Antichrist ain't out, you know, they think it's communism or Obama and all this stuff. They're all demon-possessed. I got that. But the Bible, when it speaks of the Antichrist, it's talking about in our own ranks. He said, that's what Paul said. He said, grievous wolves will enter in among you, and of your own selves they'll rise up. Woo! Now, they had to hide for a while, but that don't mean nothing. You can't be a hypocrite forever. You'll eventually be what you are. That's right. Judas could fake a Christian for a long time, but one day he had to be what he was, the Amen. Son of the devil. That's right. Amen. Exactly right. Well, what is this restoration? And just to backdrop this a little bit, I hope you give me some time and some liberty. I usually don't take very long. You all know that. I try to take care of you. Prophet said, you know, Pastor ain't supposed to preach 2 hours, 3 hours all the time unless, you know, he tells you about it and things like that. I believe those quotes. I don't know. Some people just kind of brush that off like that ain't no big deal. It is. That's part of it too. Amen. If there's anybody's opinion I would respect, it would be his. I just got done. I'm just following the Lord this morning. But I just got done listening to his life story this morning. And to hear of you know, the flood that happened there where he lost his wife and his baby and us that are fathers, oh my goodness, I can't comprehend that. I can't, you know, and even the circumstances, we got phones and we got contacts and stuff, there's none of that. He was in a flood. He was trying to save somebody else's baby he thought was dead. His wife is who knows how far away in a hospital somewhere. He knows that. He can't get to her. There's nothing he can do about it. And the whole time, he'll say it on tape too, in his heart, he knew why it was happening. Because he got talked out of it by his mother-in-law to go talk to the Pentecostal people. Because that's where the seed had to get to, the shuck, brother. That's right. It couldn't grow outside the shuck. It needed to be in the shuck. And he was trying to bypass that. Oh my, that's right. And I just think of that, brother, sister. Remember he was sitting there pulling the string and he said, Lord God, and when his boat wasn't started, he was about to die. That's right, he was going to flood and die. And he said, Lord, forgive me, I'll go wherever you send me. And he said, start it up. Amen. Where would you and I be had that not happened? Amen. Scratching our heads, saying, maybe I'm a Baptist. Maybe I'll go to the Presbyterian here and trying to figure this all out. God sent a witness. He sent it right out of the scriptures, and he didn't just make it so we just believed it in our head. It came to pass. Amen. If there's any ministry that's ever just enraged my faith to stand against the enemy, it was this message. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. There's anywhere where it was a man who had such character that I admired in this age, it was William Branham. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I said, Lord, help me to follow a man of God like that. Amen. And we get complaining about our little trials. Amen. You know, and that's probably the hardest part. He knew it was his fault. Amen. He knew he didn't have to do it. His wife knew the same thing. She said, Billy, you know why this happened? He said, yes, I do. She said, yeah, we shouldn't have listened to Mama. We should have done what the Lord told you. With which much power comes much responsibility, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Even as a minister myself, I can tell you the difference after God has called you. It's different. There's a greater responsibility than when before, because it's not just you anymore. It's whoever listens to you. But brother, sister, look, wherever you are, listen now, you're the only preacher there.
Amen.
You're the only witness for Christ there. And what you present is the witness that is responsible for what they think Christ is. Amen. But God, in every age, he's given the word, and what do? They get off tangents, and God will come over here and send another man, get them back on the word, they'll get off on a tangent, God will send another man. And what is every man of God trying to do? He's not starting a new doctrine, he's trying to get them back to what God gave in the beginning, because it's always been right. Brother, sister, that the whole Old Testament, we talk about the law, and like, that was God's permissive will. Do we understand that? God wanted grace. That was his plan. He called Abraham by grace. You didn't do anything. You're still Abraham. I haven't even changed your name yet, but walk before me and be thou perfect. Come on, now we need a revelation of that, that when that pull came on my heart, it was God saying, come here, be perfect. I forgave you. I died for you. Just love me. Just walk before me. He didn't say sprint. He didn't say try real hard. He didn't do this or that. Just walk with me. Why? Why did God make man in the first place? To fellowship, to spend time with. He'll say, oh, I just can't hear from God. He just left me out here to dry all by myself. No, he didn't. You did. You left him. Nature Christian, no, when you get out of fellowship, it wasn't God's fault. It was yours. James said the same thing. He said, don't let a man ever say he was tempted of the Lord, because you're drawn away from your own lust. That's right. 2 Corinthians, let's listen now. 5:19 says this, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and hath committed to us, speaking of the ministers, committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? You were separated. We're bringing you a word that has brought it back together. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Not to a doctrine, not to William Branham, not to your pastor, not to your church, because God is letting all of that fall, so we'll quit basing our faith on that. And when it falls apart, our whole life is gone. No, put it on the solid rock. Be reconciled to God. That wherever you are, he's there. Where I am, there shall my servant be. Hallelujah. Paul had the revelation that I'm talking about today, brother, sister. The voice and the vision said what Paul preached. He said, will they go in? He said, yes. He said, praise God, because I've preached the same gospel that Paul preached. And thousands and millions of voices said, we're resting on that. And I feel shamed too many times. People say they believe the word of the hour, they believe the message, but they can't seem to find in the Bible where this came from. And they'll run off on some quote and they'll go to somebody else and try to spread that without any biblical reference of what they're even talking about. And what does it do? It makes a cult out of it. Absolutely, brother, sister. If you're following an intellectual conception, you will make a cult of the message. You might not worship Brother Branham, but you'll probably end up worshiping yourself is what it is. Everybody loves a dead prophet. You can just get the quotes you like and keep out the ones you don't. That's what they did to Isaiah. Hallelujah. He said, you're the one put him in that tomb, and now you're saying we should do what he said? Come on. Who haven't you persecuted? Let me read you a quote here. A prophet like unto Moses, 1959. Our night will be history tomorrow if tomorrow comes. Our attitudes towards Christ tonight might determine what will be in history tomorrow. So let us tonight begin to, in the meeting right by, settling ourselves down, laying aside every weight that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's put our hearts, our efforts, and everything that we have into this meeting. I think we ought to do that every service, brother, sister. Amen. I so appreciate when I was down at Fred Mullins there in South Carolina that he said, we don't need special service. You need to recognize every service special service. Amen. Brother, sister, don't give me this, that we only can have visions that special service. Prove that wrong. Isn't that right, Sister Violet? We can only have miracles in special services. Prove that wrong, didn't we? Amen. Only can have thus saith the Lord in special services. Prove that wrong, too. Amen. This is the word of the hour, brother, sister. He's here. Let's put our hearts, our efforts, our everything that we have into this meeting, because you see all the churches you're representing. And we're trying hard, as I said, the ministers last night, not to bring something new. We're trying hard not to bring something new. When we started the church, man, we played What House Will You Build Me? And Brother Bram is Daddy King Prairie Greens Church. And I've read you the quote. You'll read it too. Brother Bram said, he said, I'm not, Brother Perry, Brother Bram's quoting him. He said, I'm not here to bring something new. I'm here to stand on what's been brought. Amen. And I'm still the same today. Brother, sister, there is not another message. There is not another sermon we need. I don't care if Voice of God digs another one out. The revelation's already there, brother, sister. Amen. And I've got it. And you can't take it from me. I don't care what doctrine you come up with. It is not a doctrine in my head. It's alive in my soul. It lives out. And it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no devil's ever stopped it. Amen. I've had to stand alone, but I wasn't alone, Sister Violet. He was still in me. He's still with me. He's the same today. Not to bring something new, not to try to start a new church, but to build upon the foundation that these men have laid, that was laid by Jesus Christ and the apostles, bringing in members, bringing the gospel to them through a divine gift to let them enjoy the blessings of God. All the privileges that Christ died for is yours. They are your personal property. And we're here to join shoulders with these brethren to help everything we can to make a better community to live in, harder to do what's wrong and easier to do what's right. Amen, brother, sister. Go ahead and turn your Bibles now. Go to Revelation 10 with me. Hallelujah. There's the preaching. Now maybe we'll do some teaching. We'll see how that goes. Y'all know I ain't too good at that. You just get laying it out good and then get all inspired and feeling good and just go ahead and go for it. But that's all right because I believe that's the Holy Spirit leading us. I do with all my heart. Now let's read here, Revelation 10. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, with clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet was as it were the sun, and his face was as the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. So the seals are open at this point, brother, sister. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. That's where Amos had picked that up before. He said, if the Lord speaks, who can but prophesy? If the lion roars, who can but fear? And if the Lord speaks, who can but prophesy? Amen. This is the thundering of God's voice. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to rot. Amen. So look, brother, sister, I know many people don't think this, but brother John here in the Bible had the revelation of these thunders. It struck him. Now, you might not have the complete understanding that we have in this age, but it was given to him. He could see, oh, that's the Antichrist, that's the blood, I got it, and he went to pen it down, and what happens? And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So did God just talk just to hide it and never show us? That's how many people think, brothers, sisters. Some people think the seven seals still sealed up. Well, why did God do? Some people think we don't need to worry about the seals. It was just a nice doctrine and stuff, but I've heard preachers say stuff like that. Oh, seven seals this, and it's all this theology and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, it might be, but there's still a truth why God gave it. Amen. I don't care what some hypocrite did with it. Why did God give it to us? Amen. Because it was God's voice, and when God speaks, He doesn't waste His time. He needed to say these things. And He thundered it out to John, and He said, seal it up, though. And most people stop there. Most denominations stop there. Most Methodist people are stopping there. But God didn't leave it like that. He didn't say just seal it up forever and we'll never figure it out. Read on, brother. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever who created heaven and all things that therein are and the earth and the things that therein are and the sea and things that which are therein that there should be time no longer. So what is this? This seven thunders is what ushered in that time would be finished. It would usher in that we're not waiting anymore, but it's here now. It took the seven thunders. They were going around in motion trying to figure out when's this ever going to end. This cycle, we talked about cycle revival and death, just keeps on rolling. Well, how can that go into eternity if it just keeps rolling? It's got to stop somewhere and stay life the rest of the time. And that was when the seven thunders uttered. And John saw it. He was in the Lord's day. He was in our time watching it happen. Amen. Call me a heretic. I don't care. It's the truth. Because, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As, he even tells you how to do it. As he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So the seven thunders are not something that we need to ignore. Something we're afraid of because, you know, Joseph Coleman decided to take it and run off on a tangent with it. Somebody does that doesn't mean it's wrong. It means they're wrong. That's right. And all you have to do is go for a while and say, did Brother Branham say that? No, well then done. Right. I'm past that part. Some people still, well, Brother Branham said that, but. Well, you lost me. Yeah. I don't care what the but is after that. Amen. If anything, it's the Word of God said that. I'll give you that right there. The prophet wasn't perfect in his flesh like none of us are, but this revelation is right. Amen. You're not going to find it nowhere else, Brother Roy. The Baptists don't have it. The Pentecostals don't have it. You find me one church outside of the message of the hour that even talks about seven thunders, that even thinks this has anything to do with anything. Hallelujah. But the message, he declares it. Now let me listen here. Or actually, you listen to me. I'm listening too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Having a good time in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Listen now. Got your ears open? How about your hearts? Amen. That's where it matters. The third seal, Brother Branham says this. Now that's the reason today the revivals that we're supposed to have. We have denominational revival. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we've got revivals. We haven't. Now listen, don't get carried away now. Let's keep reading the quote. How about that? Well, we ain't going to have no revivals. Brother Bram said it. No revivals. That's why we all just sit here and stare at preachers. He said something real good. I might pipe up a little amen here and there. But other than that, I'm just waiting. Come on, man. I want to get to Arby's. Brother, sister, don't tell me that devil don't show up church. He does. And don't think you're not prone to it. It comes and it hits preachers back there too. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, my. It hits them back here behind the pulpit sometimes. You might think, oh, that's crazy talk. No, brother, sister, it's the truth. I've had plenty of you come forward and get for prayer for, and a devil come by and say, what are you doing? You're wasting your time, you old hypocrite. You know what you did yesterday? And it's like, and see, I don't pay him no attention. It's not my holiness that's going to do this anyways. That's what Peter and John was saying. It's like, why are you looking at us? Because they just went to the Grand Beautiful. It was the Lord Jesus working through them to get them walk. Yep. We've had that happen right here in the building too. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Picked them up, walked, and they just went on their business to go back. Remember, they were on their way to pray. Right. They were trying to get to prayer. So they did their work of the Lord, and they said, well, okay. And they went to go to prayer, and everybody's looking at them like worshiping them. They're like, what are you looking at us for? Don't you know I'm the man that denied him three times? And I cursed while doing it? Do you know God had to come to me personally and encourage me? He said, go get my disciples and Peter. He's over there having a pity party. And Peter. I wonder how many times it's and us. Yes. The bride's got a revival. Well, and you too, brother. Amen. Like the man, I told you this before, but man come to Noel Johnson, he's a missionary over to India, came to him and says, where does God live? And his bride. Well, who are you? Amen. The bride. Amen. Okay. Where does God live? Bride. Amen. Who are you? The bride. See, there's a misconnect there somewhere. Wait a minute. If God lives in the bride, and I am the bride he is living in, then God lives in me. Amen. Amen. And you know what, brother, sister? The seals is what breaks that to us. Absolutely. And I hope to make sense of this here. Now, let me keep reading that quote. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we've got revivals. We haven't. Oh, there's millions and millions and millions of church members, but there's not a revival nowhere. No. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. Amen. That didn't mean they're not going to ever have one. Right. See, there's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See, we're looking for it. So instead of coming up with, well, I think we're looking for this, and I'm looking for this, and when Obama really does this, and when the Pope does that, and then when Israel gets that done, and when Russia does this, then I'll know it's the coming of the Lord. That's not what he told us before. Because he even said, back 50-something years, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, only thing we're waiting on is the coming of the Lord. Is for the bride of Christ to be ready for the coming of the Lord. He said everything is set in motion, and what's even left would take 10 minutes to fulfill. Just think of that. Think of the scribe that looked up everything the Messiah was to do and believed Jesus was the Messiah, but gave up because there was too many prophecies to be done while he was going to the cross. Right. But how many were scribed out that came to pass right as he walked to the cross? Amen. He said, my bones, they stuck up out of me. I've been pierced by my friends. They split my garment and all those things. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He spoke that in a different language so they didn't even know what he was saying. But it was the word. Amen. People don't even believe in speaking in tongues. There's a Messiah on the cross doing it. Amen. Amen. All right, now I'm going to keep reading. We're looking for the bride's arrival. We're looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it. So now we know. We want a revival. Amen. I want to be a revival. We already preached on that. And what will it take? It takes the seven thunders, understanding what that revelation was to me, not to some universal thing, not to people in Africa that got it and over here in India and their church that they're spiritual and this believer that's spiritual and he's a preacher, he's a deacon, so they got it. Me. The revelation to me, what this was about. And the prophet identified, it's the seven unknown thunders. He will send it. So he's right here in the third seal. Why? Because it took the breaking of the seventh for the thunders to come out. Amen. Hallelujah. Because as long as there's still one on there, brother, sister, it's still sealed. But that's not what the angel came down with, brother Dan, did he? It was an open book. Amen. Open. That means there couldn't be no seals left. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not bypassing quotes where he said, we're waiting on that. I'm going to read it to you now. All right. Super sign. This is right before the seals happen. Brother Branham says this. We see time closing in. Soon we're looking for that angel that will set his foot on the land and on the sea and raise up his hands and swear by him that lives forever and ever. Time shall be no more. Said at that time, the mystery of God should be finished. We understand now that God's threefold mystery has been made known to us. What is that? I'll get to that threefold mystery here and again. But he's talking about God in Christ, God in the bride, God in the new heavens, new earth. God's threefold mystery. Go read oneness. He talks about it over and over and over again. He'll pick it up. I'll get here in a minute in the seventh seal. Then he'll pick it up in Christ, the mystery of God, reveal it and break out what it is. Amen. So we have that threefold mystery be known to us, that God's threefold mystery be known to us. And we understand and we're looking now for those mysterious thunders that came out from heaven in the book of Revelation that was sealed on the back of the book. So the prophet knew it takes these seven thunders to get the bride where she needs to be. So if we ignore it, we say we don't need it, we say it's too complicated, it's too hard, they've made too much of a mess of it. I can't stand that expression no more. We're in a mess age. Might be. I'm not. I'm in the message of the hour, which is the bride of Christ. So Brother Bram says this. Now I'm going to go into the seven seals and read some things, and then we'll see where he leads us. Are you listening? How about the rest of you? There we go. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Appreciate that. The seventh seal, 1963. Now notice, so help me. By God, I tell the truth that these are spiritually discerned to me, see, discerned by the Holy Spirit, and by every one of them has identified his place in the Bible. He's saying all these seven revelations that I just given you, they're right here in the Bible, and God has vindicated it. Sure. Now, what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal, now listen, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it just what it said. But I know that it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times and unfolding into something else that I seen. Then when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation that flew across there and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, friends. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving into that cycle. See, it's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. Amen. Let me skip down. Now, this is why some people think the seal's still sealed up. Come on now. They think the seventh seal's sealed up because Brother Branham said this. Now, let me read what else he had to say about it. A little bit later, it says, when will it be, Brother Branham? I cannot tell you. I do not know, but one of these days, if we never meet again on this earth, we're going to meet yonder at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll find out that in that room, the revelation coming from God, just like all the rest of them, that has one of the mystery of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was the seven thunders that uttered their voices, and there it perfectly, because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't even written. So we're at the end time. We are here. Amen. Man, is it too loud or something? Is that me? Did I gain it or something? All right. I just keep hearing my breath. That's all I'm saying. I just don't want to drown out the recording. But here's Brother Branham. We understand he had the revelation of the seal, yet he said the interpretation. He said it went too fast. I couldn't make it out. But we're moving into that cycle now. He said, when will it be? I don't know. But it will. It has to. Because without it, we can't make a rapture. Amen. So what happened? Too many people went off on tangents here, 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 here. And Brother Branham says that. He says, don't try to figure nothing out. He said, there's only about five of you that even got it anyways. He said, why? It's not time for it yet. So what did he tell the people over and over to do? Be simple. Just love the Lord and walk with him. Why? Because this revelation is so simple. It's so simple that a fool wouldn't err therein. Look, Brother Bram gets asked a question. So all of us are saying, well, what's the seven thunders then? It can't be the seals. He said it wasn't there. He said it was still, you know, he couldn't make it out. So where is it? Well, let me ask you when he was asked the question. The question and answers for us is 1964. Here's a question Brother Bram's asked. He says, have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but not yet known to us as the thunders yet? All right, now listen. So he's asking. This question is, we know there's seven thunders. He told us about that. Was that in the seals, or are we waiting for it to happen, and we just haven't figured it out yet?
Come on.
No. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about.
Amen.
They was to reveal the seven thunders that are other voices, and no one could make it out what it was. John knew what it was.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So there you go. All these people that said John didn't know. Well, he did. The prophet said so. John knew what it was, but he was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel, in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed. And the seventh angel is the messenger of the seventh church age. So here's the prophet telling us, it's the seventh messenger that's going to reveal this thing to us. When the seventh seal was opened, yes, he got the revelation. It went too fast. He couldn't quite make it out, but he had it. He said, we're moving it. I know what it is. I just can't quite see it yet. And Paul said the same thing. When that which is perfect is come. He said, right now, we see in a glass darkly, but then I'll see it face to face. Hallelujah. And then what began to happen? God, the prophet moved into this cycle, and he caught it. He caught it. What was it? Christ is in the bride.
Amen.
And it was, that's what it is. Remember, he said, it's so simple. He said, it's so simple. You know, but see, you think it's something great like that, be some big old thing like over here, but it's so simple, yet it's so powerful.
Amen.
When you begin to realize, I am a son of God. And what that makes is I have all authority, Brother Dan. All authority over every devil. I don't care where he comes from. I'm a daughter of God. I was foreordained from the foundation of the world to be this. I'm not building my way up there like so many of us thought. That's what I am.
Amen.
And the only thing I'm doing is shedding what I'm not. That's why I'm crucifying the old man every day, letting him die and putting him back on the cross where he belongs.
Amen.
Mortify the deeds of my flesh. Why? Because that's not me.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a part of God.
Hallelujah.
I am God's seed. That means I have God potentials. And I'm not some white horse rider that's got a bow with no arrows. Like too many of us guys, well, I'm just a prayer, but nothing ever happens. It happens for everybody else. Come on, now we got a sharp sword that works.
Amen.
And I'm not using the sword like the red horse rider to go kill everyone else. I'm attacking the enemy, the devil. That's right. You see why we needed those seals, brother, sister? Brother Branham, in 1962, you look it up, the mighty conqueror. Guess where he takes his text from? The first seal. The white horse rider. He preached Christ as the mighty conqueror from that. You're not going to tell me he didn't need the seals open to see the truth? We think he's just blowing hot air. When he said, if the angel of the Lord hadn't met me, I'd have made a terrible mistake this morning. And why? Look at all the seals. We could keep going right on. That black of death. Remember, you can go find where he preached it last time. He's like, well, maybe there's going to come this or that or whatever. He said, no, that's it. That's where they're going to not just sell our bread. They're going to sell our spiritual life away. And we're going to have to give them novenas and all the stuff the Catholic Church was doing to be saved. And that's transferred into the Word now. Well, unless you do this and do that, and this work over here has nothing to do with any of that. Christ did it. Christ died for me, and Christ didn't leave me dead. He brought me the Holy Ghost to quicken what I was to life again. Hallelujah. You go, I could go through all the seals, the fourth seal, there's death himself riding, and now we don't think it's just some monster going to come out of the ground someday. It's the Pope. He's got a name. He's a man. I can't stand when we make the Bible so hard. He says, count the beasts. He's got the number of a man, because that's what he is. 666. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. Oh, my. Now let me read you another one. Power transformation. This is after the seals now. Now it's hard. It's very hard speaking to people who feel the same way I do and the way I have been for many years. But since the opening of those seven seals, of them angels just yonder, just behind the mountain yonder, this has become a new book. It's the things that's been hid. It's being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10 he would do it. And we are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things.
Amen.
Which is not some mystical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the Word of God made manifest, proven that it's right. Proven not by science but by God that it's right. God, as I've said before in the message, God doesn't need anyone to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. He says it'll happen and it happens. Then he confirms it. That interprets it. Amen. Jesus said, Elias will come and restore all things. John saw the vision, says, wait, there's seven thunders I was going to write down that the bride needs, but she can't have them yet. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he sounds, it'll be finished. Then Peter picked it up and he said, Jesus will stay in heaven until the restoration of all things.
Amen.
How in the world, brother, sister, can we be the bride without spot or wrinkle when we know that we make mistakes and we do this wrong and that wrong? But what happened? We were given a message. We were given seven seals that opened up, and what did it show? Christ in every age. Come on now. Now don't go put it off in the tribulation. I'm talking right here. Christ in this age.
Amen.
The bride of Christ. You never did it in the first place.
Hallelujah.
And look, brother, sister, here's where we need to quit losing our heavenly privileges. That is the privilege of knowing justification. That's the real revelation of what justification means. I never did it in the first place.
Amen.
Past, present, future, once it's in the blood, it
Amen.
Never existed.
Amen.
But that's not it, brother, sister. Then if you have a trouble that keeps coming up and stuff, you're supposed to be sanctified.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And God has given you the power to do it because he's opened the seals and showed you. You're not this man that has temptations and lust and you know, some people, that's just the way I am. I just have to have a temper. Quit saying all that. If you've been born again and you understand what the seals are, you are Christ
Amen.
In this age.
Amen.
And you're supposed to be sanctified. Put off the ungodly works of darkness
Amen.
And be the children of light.
Amen.
Amen. And not only that, not only are we supposed to live free and conscious of sin. God help us. Because I find too many people ain't got that revelation yet. God-fearing, honest people that live constantly in condemnation. Now, some people need condemnation and they ignore it because they're living in sin.
Right.
Amen. It's like you get one or the other. The man that's doing all this wrong never gets convicted about it and just thinks he's okay. Here's the guy that's trying to do right, does something wrong and loses all his faith and doesn't even come to church no more because he ain't good enough. Don't tell me I don't have it. I've seen it too many times. If we can just get the thing together and realize, yes, I do wrong, but I make it right with God. And he already knew I did and he forgave me. Then more than that, then he sanctified me. Why? He's got a purpose in my life. It's that I can reflect him. And how can I reflect? That's why Peter said, he said, we know at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll have a revelation of what grace is. So he said, put on the armor of light. Quit doing the works of darkness. I'm going to read that to you real quick. I'm paraphrasing too much. You think I'm making it up. I'm just going to read it real quick. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as ye have, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. That's why when I said about Abram there, when God called Abram, not even Abraham yet, when he called Abram, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Why? Because if you have a conscience of sin, you won't approach God. Right. And rightly so, because you should be scared. He's a righteous judge. He can't handle sin. So when it comes, it needs to be dealt with. God, thank his holy name that he gave us the blood.
Amen.
A Clorox bleach, brother, sister. Amen. But not only are we justified, sanctified, but we've been given a quickening power.
Amen.
Amen, brother. What is it to quicken? What I always was. That's what I am. If I'm a part of the bride of Christ, Jesus said, these signs fall in that believe. That means that's me.
Amen.
I don't get to make up the definition of a Christian. Jesus did. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this. And we scratched our heads for years and years. Brother Branham did the same thing. How many knows that? He said, faith to move a mountain. He said, how can that be? How can you do that? Then the seals came open. And then you realize, brother, sister, it's not me doing it in my flesh. I've worked up something. I'm this great person, and that's why I have faith to move mountains and all that. No, it's I'm a part of him.
Amen.
And if he's an apple tree, and he was the first apple that came off, and you know, I could see what, well, if I'm that, I would do the same thing, because that's just what I am. And when you begin to ponder these things, brother, sister, that's why the seals were opened up. It was to show us what is the threefold mystery of God. Who is God? Let me read you some more quotes now. Seventh seal, Brother Bram says this. Now, do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery. So I'm not making that up. When Brother Bram opened, he didn't open it. We know the Lamb did. But he gave it to the messenger, like he said in Revelation 10:7, to speak it to us. And when he brought the seventh seal, it says there's a threefold mystery to it. And he picks up this threefold mystery in Christ's mystery God revealed. Now listen. Watch, redeemed by Christ, the second Adam, you believe he was, going back home to Eden with his fallen wife, redeemed back home again. That's Christ in the church today taking his wife back. See the threefold mystery now. Amen. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church all together to bring back the original Adam and Eve again, man and woman, which are one out of the same blood and same spirit.
Wow. Amen.
And everything else. Come on now. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. Because the life is in the blood, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes in his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Denominations won't never touch that.
Yes.
It's a revelation.
Amen.
And a denominational spirit won't touch that.
Amen.
Come on, brother, sister. Why do our sisters wear skirts? Come on. Why do they not cut their hair? Why do we kick the TV out? Why do we live holy? Why do we baptize in Jesus' name? How do we know the serpent seed? Why do we know these things? And if you have a denominational spirit, that's all the deeper it gets. We've got these doctrines and we can prove everybody wrong now. And we go around and we're just going to prove everybody wrong and just say, hey, I'm all right and they're all wrong. Why? Why did God give it to us? Because it shows who you are in every single one of those revelations.
Amen.
When you see the serpent seed open, what does it do? Well, it had to come from somewhere.
Right.
Hallelujah. And Adam came right out of God.
Amen.
He was called the Son of God.
That's right.
And the Jews had more revelation than most people. When you say you're the Son of God, that means you're God. That's what he said. He said, you being a man, make yourself God. When all he said was, I'm the Son of God. It just shows they had a different understanding than most of us do, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to take my time. But God had a son. He called his name Adam, and he put him on the earth. But yet in that whole time, God had made Adam after his own image. And he said he made man, or after the image of God made he him. Male and female made he them. Oh my. So why? Without the revelation of the seed of God, you don't even see. What does that even mean? Nobody, you show me one denomination that's even touched that. Why is he male? How could Adam be male and female at the same time? What does that even mean? Well, if God is making something after his own image, that means whatever he made is what he is. So God made a man that had a woman in him that had the same life. And before Eve was ever given the name Eve, she had a name. It was Adam. Revelation or Genesis 5:1. In the day God created him, he called their name Adam. And in this day, while we baptize in Jesus' name, he has called our name after his own, the name of Jesus Christ. So when I gave my heart to the Lord and I needed to be baptized in a name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost didn't do none. Amen. That ain't my name. What are you talking about? It was something about Jesus Christ. Whoa, that seed began to move. He said, get to those waters quick. I need germatized. Hallelujah. I need a quickening. I'm tired of laying here dormant in this old pest house. Amen. I'm ready to come out.
Amen.
That's why we repent, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Denominations won't never touch that, brother, sister, because you won't find Christ outside of the bride in this age. And the Catholics have tried to take that doctrine. They're maybe not as far off as you think. The Pope will say it. He's here in Christ's stead. He's trying to be the bride.
That's right.
Woo, glory. Amen. Said what he says goes. You know, we don't need the Bible. That's where you missed it. See?
Right.
If you are a part of him, you're a part of him.
Yes.
And if he's the Word, you have to be the Word.
Amen.
So if you're not becoming the Word, there's no way you're a part of him.
That's right.
And that's what the prophet was trying to bring. He wasn't trying to start a denomination.
Amen.
He wasn't trying to start all these schisms and break people off and all this stuff. But the Word will do that. Sorry if you don't like that, but that's what the Word does. Because devils will not obey it.
Amen.
They just won't. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you come with thus saith the Lord right to their face. They'll walk away and do whatever they wanted to do anyways.
Right.
Saying, oh, no, brother. No. I could have this experience that I'd convert somebody. No. If God didn't foreknow you, you'll never get converted. I don't care what happens. Come on. Cain himself, the seed of the serpent, gave the wrong offering. God saw his sincerity. Yes, he did. Cain wasn't a hypocrite. He was trying to serve God. He just didn't have a revelation, so he only did the best he could. God knew that. God came to him himself. He didn't even send Abel. He didn't send Adam. He came himself. He says, look, Cain, just do what Abel did. I'll accept you. Not only that, I'll make you his ruler. And then you watch later. Even Abel said, look, I'm not trying to, you heard what God said. That wasn't me. That's not my revelation.
Right.
The serpent seed don't catch that. What happened? If I can't get rid of my sin, I'll destroy the one that reminds me of it.
Right. Amen.
We need to live such a life that people either recognize their sin and get saved or recognize that they hate us because we're exposing their sin.
Come on.
We don't like that part of it, but remember, we want a third pole ministry.
I want
what the seven thunders came to do. He said, this is the third pole.
Amen.
It all goes hand in hand, brother, sister. It's all pointing to what the bride of Christ is. What was the bride doing what was Christ doing in the end of his day? Preaching to those eternally lost.
True.
He went to the cross. Everyone, remember, John was the only one still trying to follow him. Everybody else gone.
Right.
We think, oh, what a terrible ministry. What a washed up preacher. They thought the same thing of this prophet.
That's right.
That's right. Got what he deserved, but we know it's, that's just the way it goes, brother, sister. Who would have obeyed Isaiah after he was sawed in half? Said, well, guess he got what was coming to him. Should have stayed with the Word. But God is not mocked. What Isaiah wrote is still speaking today. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I hope this is making sense. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. Open your Bible. I want to show you Paul had the same revelation. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Let's just go to 21 and read here. If you're there, can you say amen for me?
Amen.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body. Whose? Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the whole time he's outlining, what is a husband? What is a wife? What ought the husband to do? What ought the wife to do? The whole time he's saying, I'm speaking of a mystery. You're thinking, now it does apply to home, our homes. All right, I guess I could preach on that, but I'm trying not to go that route. That's why so many women don't listen to their husbands and men don't love their wives. Because they're trying to live in a different age. They're not living after God's pattern. That is the way we ought to live. But what is it really reflecting is what God wanted to do with his church. Amen. That was his body. That was a part of him. That's why when they asked him the question, is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ the same thing? He said, yes. Because it was just Adam again. The part of Adam, that rib down there, was his bride. She was there. He wasn't made out of something else. He was made out of that. And when it came out, this part over here took care of that. Hallelujah, it nourished that, it cherished that, it gave everything for it. Hallelujah. Now, Adam tried to save Eve with sin, and sin will never save sin. It takes righteousness. So when the second Adam came, he in shadow Adam tried to do it. We understand that. But Christ wasn't doing it in a shadow. He was the light of the world. But the same God that said that through his son said, ye are the light of the world. Why? Because he knew he was the source of all light. Hallelujah. All the fullness of the Godhead was in him. And through so many ages, we couldn't find where did it go?
Right.
Did it all go to heaven in the Son? Come on now. Did he send it back down in the Holy Ghost? Is it with the Father? You know, we went off all these tangents saying, what in the world? And we're trying to figure out how the Trinity works. It doesn't. It doesn't. There's not different persons of God. He's the same person.
Amen.
What does the plurality of God come from? The members of his body.
Yes.
The bride of Christ.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because you go read marriage and divorce. What was the revelation? Besides when the angel told him he had authority to tell people that had been divorced and remarried and saying to go on as you are. I believe that was given to the prophet. He said to those that will believe this message.
Right.
You believe it, don't know what to tell you.
Right.
He said, go and teach your children to never do a such thing like that. I don't know about these ones that have got divorced and they teach your kids it's okay. You left the promise what the prophet said.
Amen.
That's right. Now, like I said, praise God for the grace of God. Because we've got divorce, remarriage all over the place. But thank God for his grace. That if you'll commit to God, serve him with all your heart from now on.
Right.
Amen. But what was the revelation given was of what the bride of Christ was to Christ. He said, because we all go, I'm sure you've been presented. Why is polygamy all throughout the Old Testament? All of it. Why is it there? And you can't debate somebody and say it's not. You're just stupid. It's there. David himself had 100, 500 wives. Solomon, 1,000. And nobody thought nothing of it. God never even brought it up. Why? Because it was a foreshadowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That Christ has one bride, but she's many members. Hallelujah. That's why when any of those women would come, it didn't matter if it was Abigail or Bathsheba. You know what their name was? The wife of David.
Amen.
The wife of David.
Amen.
Not a wife, the wife.
Amen.
Why? Because they collectively, oh, hallelujah,
Amen.
Were one wife. And you go listen to marriage and divorce when he's talking about polygamy. That's what he's trying to hit at. Christ and the bride.
Wow.
She's one person,
yes.
But collectively made of different members.
Wow.
But where do they come from? From the Logos, from the Word, from the foundation of the world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We say, why did Brother Branham keep talking about these attributes of God and all this stuff? Because that's you.
That's right.
That's you. You're one of those that came out, and nobody can be that but you.
Right, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly, amen.
This is how we're restored, brother, sister. Amen. This is why when you look, and I'm trying to be patient, but we got the statue of perfect man. We all believe we got to be this, right? We got to be this man here. And if you don't get a revelation of what the seals is about, you'll never have the power to do that. That's right. You'll never have the understanding. You'll try to keep earning things from God. And Brother Bram even says in Statue of Perfect Man, you can't do it.
Amen.
You can't say, I need virtue, I'll go get it. It doesn't work that way. You need to get born again.
Yes.
Recognize that's what I am, and it'll produce itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sheep aren't made to manufacture. What does it mean to manufacture, Dad? You got to take something, strip it away from its natural cause. Use a machine to break it into some other way and use it for a different purpose. God never called us to manufacture. He called us to bear. That means do what it's supposed to do. That's why when you plant a corn, you put it in the ground, just let it do what it's supposed to do, you'll get more corn. Don't manufacture, just be what Christ made you. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord Jesus. Paul was preaching the same thing that Brother Branham gave to us, brother, sister. Hallelujah. It's the rising of the sun. Listen now. And he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him and can only be manifesting of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others have spoken of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one, and the woman taken from his side, she has taken a spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, both mechanics and dynamics, the wife.
Sure.
Let me bring down here a little bit. No matter how much theologians claim, how well you got your church set, how much education you got, how much like the Bible, until that wave sheaf. That's not Brother Branham now. Listen, not the man anyways. Until that wave sheaf, until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken the word. The gasoline represents the word. It's the truth. But without the Spirit, it won't move.
Amen, amen. Amen.
We have put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring to pass that this is gasoline, that this is the true oil of God. It might be a gasoline can, could still be water, see? But the only proof of it is put the life on it, and it'll prove whether it's gasoline or not. And when you try to put the Holy Spirit in a denomination, you are just as much as trying. You can get a sputter, but you'll ruin your engine by getting it full of carbon. But, oh, I'm so glad that there's a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God, and a Holy Ghost to light it up.
Amen.
And to resurrect the power of God into a man's life or a woman's life or into a church that shoves the Cadillac down the road yonder under the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which came back and was waved over the people at the day of Pentecost, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why there's no 23rd chapter of the book of Revelation, church. It was here in the first apostolic age. They had it, Brother Dan. They had this revelation. Paul preached it to everywhere he went. He said, you're looking for something great. You're looking for something mighty. That's why they even said his letters are weighty and powerful. When we see them, this is all it was. This is all it is. They saw the same thing about our prophet. It ain't no different in any other age because they got their intellectual conception of what is great, and it's never what's great. Hallelujah. You think God could have come down in some big, mighty angel form and done all kinds? Yes, he could have. He never did.
Right.
He came to Abraham in a human body. Nobody else knowed who he was but Abraham, but one man with revelation. He came to Jacob and wrestled him all night. He never figured out what his name was. Come on now. He came in Jesus Christ. We know the pure word of God made flesh here, made like unto us, born of a virgin. Hallelujah. And now we actually know why. You give me another church that understands why he was virgin born.
Right.
Just because God got bored one day and said, we're going to do something fancy here. I'm going to let him be virgin born. No, he had to be because he had to be free from all attributes of sin.
Amen.
But he couldn't be a different lineage or he couldn't redeem us. So he had to be part of us, yet not partakers of our sin.
Amen.
He took our sin upon himself.
Right.
Hallelujah. But even in that form, Remember, he got up and he took the priest, he took the Bible. Remember Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach freedom and from the captives and all these things. And he closed and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
You know what they did, Brother Dan?
Amen.
That's it. He said, you couldn't even hear his voice in the street. I don't think they heard you back there. You might want to say that again. Close it up and say, this is it.
Yeah.
And walked out. And I believe they ran him out of town shortly thereafter. Come on, brother, sister, because, oh, if the scripture was fulfilled, it'd be like this, that, and there'd be lightning bolts. Yeah, Naaman had that revelation. Didn't work out too well. But when he just got humble, went down to the River Jordan and dunked seven times because that's what the word said, he got over his leprosy. And I think the church would quit trying to figure out stuff and get so complicated, just say what the prophet said, that we are Christ in this age, that we are to manifest every promise of the Bible and quit trying to figure it all out and making it so hard and just dunk seven times in God's word till we come out clean.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Quit making it harder than what it is and calling it all this fanaticism and stuff. We ain't got time for all that. We just need to be what God has made us, and God's done fooling around with it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's been 50 years, brother, sister. Come on. How much longer can this go? The only reason we're here is because of God's grace. That's it. That's it, brother, sister. That's why I don't need to go find another message. I don't even got to read another tape. That revelation's already laying there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is the restoration we're talking about, brother. Brother, sister, it's here.
Amen.
I'm not waiting on it. I am it.
Right.
You're it. Every born-again Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that revelation.
Amen.
Because before we thought, and even the prophet himself, listen now. Said, you know, I couldn't find another man, but I found somebody that taught the born-again experience ain't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But God has brought the revelation.
Amen.
Come on, that when that seed was quickened, what quickened it?
That's right.
The life and power of God got in that seed. Now, that's not it. Because if you try to just stop there, you'll live a different age. But that seed has to bring forth its kind again.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham says in the church book, every age received the Holy Ghost, but they only can manifest so far. Because they didn't have enough word to live, but they still had the life of God in them. So Luther had the Holy Ghost. Wesley had it. That's right. They were born again in the Spirit of God, but that's all they could manifest to. But you had to manifest that in that age because that's the crop God wanted then. But this time, it's harvest time.
Amen.
It's time for the word in flesh again. That there's no schisms in the body at all. There's no fluttering around about whether we should be holy or pure, whether we ought to have the power of God in services, whether we ought to cast out devils. There's none of that anymore. That's what we are. That's what we do. And somebody's going to be the bride.
Amen.
We got the mechanics, brother, sister. We got that figured out. Let's get the dynamics. How? By faith, I am what I am by the grace of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
We need more men of God. We actually need more women of God to stand on the word. I'll be honest right there, brother, sister. Because Brother Branham said, behind a great man is a great woman.
Amen.
If we had more praying mothers at home, we'd have more success in Christ. Behind the pulpit, every man at the head of the house, come on now.
Amen.
We're too busy flipping a stupid phone all day. God help us snap the thing in half, kick it out the door when it's distracting us from our calling of God.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a preacher, deacon, that stuff affects all of us.
Amen.
God help us, brother, sister. But here's the point. He's done it. We say, God help us. He did. He gave it to us. Now get a good hand of faith on it.
Amen.
And when that thing does come in your life, don't say, well, I just got to do it. No, in the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
That's not even me, devil.
Amen.
That's sin that dwells in me. Get out of here. And just think of the grace of God in our lives, brother, sister. Some of us have been in all kinds of mess, didn't we? I don't judge necessarily a man where he goes to church, but if you can feed on that stuff forever and it's wrong, there's something wrong somewhere. I've been in assemblies where I'll go here because I got to go somewhere, and you come to find out they ain't preaching what's right, and you're like, well, Lord, what am I going to do? And you just follow the Lord. That's fine. Brother Brandon was at a Baptist church. He didn't say I shouldn't have went there. Come on now. He told people to go back where you were and shed light, but I don't think he meant indefinitely.
Amen.
After a while, they don't want the light. I'll tell you right now, they'll kick you out.
Amen.
That's right. I've seen it happen too many times. Light and darkness can't exist together.
Amen.
And I don't care if he's a preacher. I don't care if he's a deacon. I don't care if he's old. I don't care if he's young. I don't care if he's got a big church, small church. You know, we got all the big churches saying, well, if the small church was right, God would bless the work, there'd be more members. We got a small church saying if the big churches were right, they'd preach the truth and they wouldn't be able to have all those members. And what do? We make it a rat race, a dog eat dog. But God is done with that. What is God looking for? An individual. One to stand up and say, you know what? This is what I am in God. And I don't care if you go to a church of 5 or a church of 1,000. You go where God tells you to go. But we got to be able to hear from God, brother, sister. It's too much impressions. Too much, well, I think this. Right? We're the bride. We're supposed to have thus said the Lord or do nothing.
Amen.
And you think thus said the Lord's hard to find, but it ain't. We call this a certain thing, don't we? The Word of God. Amen. Why don't we quit making thus saith the Lord some catchphrase and realize that means God said it.
Amen.
And if it's God's Word, that means God said it.
Yes.
Let's stand together this morning. Let's spend some time and worship Him now. Hallelujah. I'm glad to see the Word not falling on deaf ears today. Praise His holy name.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just let everything else go aside. Just
hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we lift up our voices to Him? No, E flat today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
When you get the E flat, you know these songs.
He became me
so that I might become Him by grace. Oh, He became me so that I might become Him by grace. He took my place. Become Him by grace.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary all pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a God bless you, brother. You'll never get nowhere without a revelation. Say, Lord, it's got to get deeper than what I've got now. It's in my head, but Lord, let it live out of my heart. And I won't be afraid of the temptations of the enemy. But God will provide my needs. Just believe that now. Don't just do it haphazard. Say, Lord, this is mine. I'm raising my hands because I'm surrendering what I had and accepting what you're giving. Yes, Lord. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, don't take no for an answer. God said yes. The devil's what tells you no, and it's not today, and it's too hard. You'll never get it. It's too difficult. No, he's already done it, brother, sister. He became you that you could be him. He's preparing you to be his sanctuary, his house to live in. He's going to live there forever, brother, sister. That's right. We're going to live together. Each one of us, all the attributes of God back together. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, thank him for what he does for you. Don't be a leper that just takes off and doesn't turn around and say, Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there any in need of healing? Say, Lord, my body's aching, but I know that you'll help me. I know you've healed me before. You'll do it again. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Receive your healing today. God bless you, sis. Receive your healing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of no devil. Go ahead and praise him for it. Don't worry about it. It's healed, sis. Holy Ghost all over the sister back there. And don't be afraid of that. Hallelujah. It's over, Sister Suzanne. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. She ain't just the only one either, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy for His providing hand? Thank you, Lord. Don't be afraid. You're the bride of Christ, anointed with the Holy Ghost right now. Say, Lord, I believe in the dynamic power of God. I'm a part of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just give Him the preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we've got to push music aside sometimes and realize that it's our hearts that worship. That's what God's looking for. We don't need that, but it's to help our hearts worship. Keep playing. That's fine. It's us that's the problem. We ought to have music, but it's our hearts that need to be, Lord, I worship You. Oh, Jesus, thank You so much, Lord. I love You, Jesus. Anybody want to rededicate themselves? Say, Lord, I just give my life to You today. Lord, I've done too much on my own. It just fails all the time. But I give You my life. Receive glory, receive praise. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just yield ourselves to the Spirit now. Don't be in a hurry. This is when we get too hurried. And why we don't see the glory of God many times. He's already done a work right here, right in your midst. Is it too simple for you? Hallelujah. That won't fail. That was the word of the Lord. It's going to happen just that way. That's right. Hallelujah. Have faith now. Believe it with all your heart. All things are still possible, brother, sister. I know the God that came from this message is still God tonight. Today, rather. Hallelujah. He'll never die. He said, I died once and I'm alive forevermore. And where is He, brother? Don't go finding Him. He's in you. You've been born again. You receive the Holy Ghost. Now yield to that Spirit that's within you. Be the man on the inside that you know as well, that He's happy. He's got the joy of the Lord. He's got the peace of God. He was there when Job saw all the sons of God shouting for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless each one. Thank You, Lord. Just give Him time. Give Him preeminence. He's here now. Moving down the aisles. Believe it with all your heart, I pray. Believe it with everything that's in you. If there's ever a time to believe God is here, it's now. What's He trying to show you? I've done it all for you. I did it all. I saw you in sin and shame before the foundation of the world. And I died for you then to make sure it wouldn't do nothing to you. I paid it all. I shed every dime of money I needed out of my blood to pay that debt off. There's nothing undone. I did it. Before you couldn't see it, but I've opened the seals. Now you can see it. That's you back over there, John. That's you over there, Bride of Christ. When you heard this message, when it came a revelation to you, that was your theophany talking to you. That's the real you that you go, hallelujah, come together with your body and make a glorified body forever. Hallelujah. God don't have extra ones, brother, sister. You are always there. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Isn't it just so sombering in His presence? Oh, we exalt You, Lord. Oh, praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Surrender all your heart now. We're worshiping the Lord. We didn't come to see one another, brother. We came to worship. Praise His holy name. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Let's all get one mind and one accord. Let's praise Him now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in worship.
Don't you just want to bless his name today?
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed.
Let's give him a wave offering as we sing.
Oh, blessed be the name of the
Lord. Wave your heart before him. Say, Lord, I appreciate you.
He is worthy to be praised and adored. Oh, so we lift up holy hands.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord.
Blessed be the name, Lord. Blessed be the name.
Oh, worship him with all your hearts today. Sing it again.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, Father.
Oh, he is worthy to be praised.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
So we lift up holy hands. Singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
One last time, thank you, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, he is worthy to be praised and adored. So
I think we'll sing it once more without any music, all together now.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, just worship him your own way. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I exalt you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.